Now, as you take your seat, I expect you to know where this is at. Hebrews, guess what? Third chapter, verse number 1. We're going to get right back into the Word of God. For those of you that are brand new, we didn't greet you yet, have we? For if you're here for the first time, maybe you've never been at the Rock Church World Outreach Center before, we want you to know we love you. We got a little pamphlet brochure to give to you. Just raise your hand. There's some folks back there, back over there. God bless you back there, back there, back there. God bless you. We'll get that to you. Just keep your hand up. The ushers will get it to you. And then right after church service, I'll meet you at the right-hand side of the foyer. There's cookies and donuts and coffee waiting for you over there. And it's kind of neat to get to know each other a little bit. And we'll give you a free CD of today's message. So I'm taking you to Hebrews, the third chapter. God wrote it that way. You ought to be able to understand it. And that's why we go line upon line, precept upon precept in the Word of God. God wants to speak to you today. Before I give you the title of today's message, I want to read to you the verse, number 1 of the third chapter of Hebrews. And as I do, I want to explain it and then give you the title. It'll make more sense to you then. First of all, before I go any further, I want you to remember this, keep it in mind, that the author here to the text of Hebrews, to the believers that were Hebrew believers, he's writing because they had put a lot of things before God. They put Moses before God. But remember the last couple of chapters, you'll find they put angels before God. They put all kinds of traditions and ceremonial rituals of men before God. And the writer of the text is really telling them it's not the right thing to do, that Jesus is the preeminent one. He's above, beyond, and better than anything else, bigger and greater. And he should be first about everything in all of our lives. And even today, we may not be putting Moses or angels and things like that before Jesus, but we put a lot of stuff as human beings before Jesus, don't we? And so the warning keeps on going, but there's also a greater insight into the Word of the Lord. Now let me just share this with you. Sometimes you will read your Bible. And when you read your Bible, you will think, oh, that's just what it says. And maybe I'll just go on to the next verse. Finally, finding something that you can basically understand. God wants you to know something, that the Word of the Lord is a whole lot more and richer than just reading through your Bible. Let's spend time today. Let's understand the Word of God. As we go to Hebrews, it starts off with the word therefore. In other words, because of the last couple of chapters that I've told you about angels, now we're going to the third chapter, and you can't put Moses before Jesus Christ. But that's really not our subject this morning. In fact, let me read it to you, these verses, and get ready for God to take you someplace you hadn't gone before. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to know that here he talks to these believers. And I want to just share this. I'm not going to share with you about the word holy. We've already done that. We've already looked at that word. It means separate. It means sanctified. It means one that's set apart for. We describe it here at this place as exclusively yours. In other words, God, we are exclusively yours. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And I thought it fascinating how he now calls these people who are making a mistake, holy brethren. Don't you find it fascinating? They have put angels before God. They have now put Moses before God. They've put traditions and ceremonial rituals before Lord Jesus Christ. And now he calls them holy brethren, because holy is an interesting word. It not only means exclusively his, but we got to become exclusively his by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by what you did, but what he has done. And that makes all of us, even though at times we make mistakes, we're still holy. That means at times when we make wrong decisions, we're still holy. In our position with Christ Jesus, we got there as holy because of the blood, not because of what I do. Now, in order to maintain my holy position, I need to live a lifestyle, which the Word of God calls on me to live, you to live too. But that's not what we're going today. That was just kind of a side thought because we've already been there. I like this, partakers of the heavenly calling. When I read that, I said to myself, my goodness sakes, this is something I've understood for years, but I wonder how many people really understand that heavenly calling and becoming a partaker. That means a participant. And God is making a statement about you and I. He's considering you and I that are born of the Spirit of God, that we are partakers, are participants of the heavenly calling. And then I stopped to meditate, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about this and said, not very many people that go to church ever see themselves as participants of a calling. They don't even know that they are called. They go to church, they sing a few songs, they hear some preaching, they hear some elaboration. It's a traditional thing to do. This is the fun way of doing things. This is what people in sound mind do. This is the ceremonial ritual that we find in churches around the world. But there's more to this. Have you ever thought of yourself as someone who's called? Here we see that these people are called and need to be participants in their calling. In order to understand that, I want to put up an understanding of what it means to be called. For an example, let me just share it with you. Calling, God-given direction for living. And for every single one of us, it might be a different calling. For some, it may be to preach the gospel. For some, it may be to be the light of the gospel at the coffee pot at work. To some, you may be called to be housewives or husbands or great providers or the exhorter within your family or community, wherever you're at. Whatever that call is, each one of us have a call if you're born of the Spirit of God. And what you do with your call is going to determine whether or not you're a participant. Some people don't know it. They never participate. Some people don't know what to do or how it works. They don't understand it. But here we find that the calling is simply God giving you directions on what to do in life. Now that you're born of the Spirit of God, what does God want? Now that you're born of the Spirit of God, where does God want you to go? How does He want you to act? What does He want you to say? What does He want you to communicate? How does He want you to live out life? If you don't know that, how in the world could you possibly ever participate, get involved in that calling? And that's where we're going today. Let me explain some things to you. In order to understand the word calling and being a participant, you're going to have to understand more than just one word, calling. Because in order for you to be called by God, you have to be chosen by God. If you're chosen, then you're called, then you and I are going to have to respond in order to get results. If I don't respond to the calling because I'm chosen, I can't expect the results. One more time. Listen closely. If I'm called because I'm chosen, I have got to respond in order to get results. If I am not a participant responding correctly, then the results, I don't get them. And these four words you ought to jot down. One is the word chosen, one is the word called, one is the word response, and one is the word receive. They all work together to come up with this great thing called participants and being someone who's called. Someone says, well, what do you mean I'm chosen? You're chosen because God saw you. God loved you. And God called His Son to go to the cross. The part of God is that you're chosen. The part of God is that you're called to do something in life. Listen to this. And your part is to respond. And if you respond correctly, you will receive. If you do not respond correctly, you will not receive. Let me say it again. If you do not respond correctly to your calling, don't expect to receive. And that's the problem with most people in churches, is they don't know how to respond to the call that God has for them in order to receive the benefits of that calling. So when He makes a statement, participants of your holy calling. It's like we hear that, but we really, be honest with yourself now, be honest with yourself, we really don't know what that means. We really never thought about it. We really have really, come on, be honest, really have really no concept of this. For many of you, you've gone to church all of your life. All you do is sit through routines and religious ceremonial rituals, and you thought the easier it is, the greater it is, therefore you don't have to do anything. Let the preacher do all the work. I'll just sit around and go to heaven. But here's something you're called. That means there needs to be a proper response in order for you to get something. Receive. Now, let me give you a better illustration, and I'm going to ask our video department to keep that on the screen so you can refer to it. This year, when we went on vacation, Grandpa receives a little money every month from Grandma. She gives me $200 spending allowance. I took, because I like to have money in my pocket, you know. And so I take $100 for the last 12 months. And I've been taking this $100 and putting it in an envelope for 12 months. Because what I had planned on doing was I'm going to take my 11 grandchildren to Mammoth Lakes. We've rented a couple of condominiums. And while I'm up there, all 11 of my grandchildren are going to get $100 to spend any way they want as a gift from Grandpa. Someone said to me last service, Pastor, that's not a vacation, it's a daycare. I think they were right. So all this time I've been saving and accumulating, and it finally came time. And may I say this to you? If you'll notice, I didn't give your children $100. I gave mine because they're chosen. And they were all in the room, and I said to them, sit around in a circle. Our grandpa wants to talk to you. And I started peeling off the 20s one at a time. The more 20s they got, the bigger their eyes. I said to them, it's good to hang around Grandpa, but my point today is if you hang around Grandpa, you will get blessed. But if you hang around Jesus, you will be wildly blessed. They still got their 20s. And my 18-year-old grandson, he got double because anybody that's 18 and wants to hang around Grandpa, guess what? Can I tell you something? He deserves double. I chose them because they're mine. I called them to sit around. Now, what happens if their response was, I don't want any part of it? I'm going downstairs to my room. Forget it, Grandpa. I'm not hanging around my grandkids. I don't want any part of it. They would have never received. Are you following me? It's exactly the same way with you and I. God has chosen us. God has called us. We need to respond properly. In order to receive, if you don't respond properly, you don't get it. Let me give you another illustration. When I was a young man, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, I played professional baseball with an organization called the Kansas City Athletics. You know them better as the Oakland Athletics. And as a young man, I played in the minor league system for them, always wanting to play in the majors, but never did it. All my roommates did and became world famous, but I didn't. God had this for me, and I'm thrilled about it. Much rather do this anytime than be the biggest baseball hero in the world. So let me say this to you. Listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. I would be chosen by a team of theirs, called, told where to report and what to do and how to respond. And if I was chosen by like a Midwest team or Southern League team or Florida State team or whatever it was, I was chosen, I was called, told what to do, and if I responded correctly, I'd get a paycheck. If I said, no, I'm not showing up, I'm not playing for that team. Guess how much I got? Zero. You are chosen. Jesus went to that cross, called, And now your response determines what you receive. Are you following me? Is anybody listening? Without that understanding, then the words partakers of heavenly calling are just words that you blow through your mouth and mind, and you don't have any insight on what the depth of what we're talking about. Four major words, once again. You are chosen. You are called. That's God's part, your part. You must respond in order to receive. So simple. Is anybody listening? Now, the question pops up here that makes it so fascinating is this. Who gets? Here's the first question. I'm going to have a couple of questions, but this is the first question. Who gets called? I mean, so many people say to themselves, I'm not worthy to be called. You understand, I'm a sinner. I've been a drug addict. I've been a prostitute. I've been a murderer. I've been in jail. I've been bad. I haven't been good. I've been a lousy this and a lousy that, and I'm not educated and I'm not smart, and I don't know how to do that. I'm sure God only wants good people that are nice and smart and intelligent, and I'm just out of it. But I'm here to tell you something. If you are born of the Spirit of God, then you have a calling on your life on how to live life that'll bring prosperity to every area of your life if you do so, and you'll be able to receive. If you're not, then we'll take care of that in a little bit. And every one of us that are born of the Spirit of God has nothing to do with whether or not you're tall, has nothing to do with whether or not you're old, has nothing to do with whether or not you're young, has nothing to do with whether or not you're white or black or brown or Asian, has nothing to do with any of that. So doesn't matter whether you have blue eyes, brown eyes, no eyes, has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with whether you're smart, have intelligence, have degrees on your walls, or don't have degrees on your walls. Have nothing to do with that. Has to do with your heart with God. And you responding to the call that God gives you, which most people don't know how to do. Now, I have this cool little verse that's one of my favorite verses, because I have a hard time believing that God is doing what he's doing at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center as far as an influence to the rest of the world. It's pretty amazing. And so sometimes I say to myself, can you imagine this? Wow, why would God ever use me? How could God ever use me? I'm not cool like those guys are. I'm not intelligent like them. I don't have those massive degrees and celebrity status and written books or on television. It's just me. And I have to go to this verse. Will you go there with me? 1 Corinthians, first chapter. And I constantly refer to this verse all the time in my life. Maybe you should, because you're called and God wants to do something great in your life, and it's hard for you to believe that God could use you. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse number 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren." Wait a minute, most people don't see their calling. That's the sad part of this. Oh yes, we can understand how the preacher's called. We can understand how the music minister's called. We can understand the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the teacher. We can understand how they're called. But you need to see your calling. That which is referred to as you and what God says about it. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called." In other words, God's not looking for the ones that are educated, the ones that are strong, the ones that are out in front. God's not looking for the best of the best. He's not looking for that at all. He's just looking for somebody who has a heart for him. God could take a little boy on the hills of Judea singing songs to sheep and God and make him king over Israel. He could do something mighty in your life. We forget that all the time. God can take a boy that's in prison by the name of Joseph, who has no hope, no future whatsoever in Pharaoh's kingdom, year after year after year, and make him prime minister of all the finances. God can take the dead and make them alive, take the blind and open the eyes. God can take the sick and make them healthy. God can take us fools that nobody wants and nobody believes in. Nobody thinks we have anything.
make something special. Because it's the calling and the response.
Verse number 27, it's kind of a cool verse too, because it says, but God has chosen. Now there's this first word of those four that I gave you, chosen and called. God did them both. God has called you and God has chosen you. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. In other words, God takes people like us. The world doesn't understand us. They call us fools. They think we're impotent. They think we're nothing. They think we're lazy. They think we're just a bunch of fools following some foolish understanding. And he takes us fools and uses them. At the end of the end, guess what will turn out is that you are the wisest of them all. Because of who Jesus is. So who can God use and who gets called? If you're born of the Spirit of God, it's you. Second question I want to answer for you this morning is how could and how should I respond? If I'm called and I need to respond, then how should I respond? What should I do about it? Should I just sit and stare at some preacher? Should I just go to church once in a while? Should I carry my Bible? Should I make notes in my Bible? What should I do to respond? I found this great verse in Ephesians as Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he makes this statement. Go there with me in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse number 1. He says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. In other words, he identifies who he is, man. He is in with God and can't get out. Some of you have gone too far. In other words, there's no place for you to go. You know too much. And quite frankly, you don't really want to go anywhere else because you know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Beseech. See the word beseech? The word beseech is an interesting word. It means to beg. Now here's Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it's really not Paul. He's only the human penman. But guess what? Who is really there? Who is really writing this is the Holy Spirit. So here we find that the Holy Spirit, or God himself, is begging you. What would we be like if God showed up in front of us and said, I beg you. This is what I want for you. I beg you. You'd say, stop, God. Don't beg me. Don't beg me at all, God. I'll do it. You don't have to beg me. I'll do it. I'll do it, God. Don't worry about it. I'll do it. Honestly, don't beg me anymore. Here he is. I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy. See the words walk worthy? Circle it in your Bible. Put respond. That you respond in a worthy manner with which you were called. Worthy. What's worthy? I've got this call in my life. I don't even quite know what it is. For some of you, you're young and it hasn't hit you yet, but it'll work its way out as you get close to God. And you'll know what it is that God has for you to do for the rest of your life. And when that happens, you're going to have to be responsive. And you want to do it in a worthy manner. How is that? Which brings us to the next question, which is how do I walk worthy or respond to my calling? I've got to know how to walk worthy or to respond to my calling. If I don't know how to do this, then I will do what I think is right, and that may not be right, ending up in the wrong place, doing the wrong things. I can't just go out there and do what I think. I want to do what he thinks. I can't do what I feel and make it right. I've got to do what he wants me to do. It's not my will, but it's got to be his will. So how do I walk or how do I respond to my calling? I love this. If you will, go with me in the Word of God once again in 2 Peter the first chapter.
In 2 Peter, the first chapter, I want to read one verse to you. Verse number 10. Verse number 10 starts off with an interesting word that means something fascinating. I'll come back to it. It says, therefore. Now stop right there and look back up at me. Everybody stop and look. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I started off. I said something to you that caught your attention. I said, what is it if I could share something from the Bible for you today that when you get a hold of it and put it to work in your life, that you will never stumble, fall, or fail? Do you remember that? And then I said to you, I didn't say you wouldn't have problems. I didn't say trials and pressures and temptations will come your way. I didn't say it's an easy road, but I said you will never fall, stumble, or fail. And you all got quiet, and you all leaned forward. Now here's the promise from God in this verse. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 10. Therefore, brethren. The word therefore is a fascinating word. We'll come back to it. Brethren, be even more diligent. Stop right there. When the Bible says be more diligent, he's not saying treat this half-hearted. When the Bible says be more diligent, he's not saying be flippant about your thinking about doing this. Or you know, when you get around to doing it, that's okay. Whenever it is you get around to doing this, it's okay for you to get around to it. Whenever, you know, tomorrow, next week, nothing important. Think about what God just said. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Now, you see the word election up there? Do you know what the word election is? When I go to the voting booth and I vote, it's because I'm choosing someone. So you could circle that word and write the word chosen. And to see the word sure means stable, solid, unmovable. Life continues going forward instead of backwards. What if the blessings that God has for you in the future was based on how sure you shore up your life? I want to stop you right there just for a moment. I'm going to give you an illustration. One of the things I found out when I was with my 11 grandchildren, the young ones love to play with blocks. Watching them, doesn't matter what it is, they're going to put some things together. Legos. They try to stick Legos together with building log blocks things. They got now rubber blocks. They got ecology blocks, big blocks, orange blocks, pointed blocks, every kind of block, and every little kid is putting them all together. Give me that, give me that, give me that. And finally, they have these big messes of things all stuck together, and they come up to me and say, Grandpa, this is your boat. And I think, oh my God, if it is, I'm dead. I have no idea, I've never seen the boat. It's natural for us to put things together in our life. God knows that you're a building block person. When you were a little baby, you used to put things together. You still do. You just put things together differently now. You buy a house, you don't keep it empty. You start putting stuff in. And then with the stuff you put in, you don't like it. You get rid of it. And eventually you put more stuff in. You build on it constantly. There was a time when you just wanted one car. Then you got married and realized, man, we don't want one car. We want two cars. I don't want just that old car. I want to get a nice car. Listen to this. You're constantly building. By the way, in case you didn't know that, that is a very common and normal response for humans. It comes out of the garden, first chapter. God says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. It's built into the inside of us to add to our life. Not just addition, but listen to how God wants to prosper you, multiplication. It's normal. And so God, when he teaches us what to add to a worthy response to our calling, he's now going to give us building blocks of our life. In fact, let's go back to, if you will, verse number 10 here, and it says this, make sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. One translation says fall or fail. I don't know about you, but that excited me. I would love to live a life that never stumbles, falls, or fails. I'm sick and tired of living a life that does stumble, fall, and fail. I'm tired of getting by sometimes and not getting by others. I'm tired of not being blessed, and it seems like there's no blessing in my life. I want to be blessed in every area of my life. And here he tells me a promise that my life will never stumble or fall or fail. If you do these things, here's the question. What things? See the word therefore? The word therefore is for what he just said. So let's go back to verse number 5 and see the addition, the building blocks of your call to make it sure. Are you ready? Here's verse number 5 of 2 Peter, the first chapter. He says, but also for this very reason, give a little bit of diligence. Give some, occasionally. I mean, a thought once in a while. Give, try it for a while, see if it works. Oy vey. It says give. All means. No, all means. No, all means. No, what's $5 a gallon? It's oil. This is all. Give all diligence. Add to your faith. Everything starts off with believing God. Once you've got to the place where you're believing God, saying, man, goodness, Jesus went to the cross, died for my sins, his blood washed away my sins, he is resurrected from the dead on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Spirit back for me. Now you are in faith. But some people stop there, and that's the shabby part of life. You can't stop there in faith. You have got to go past that and add to your building block. Add to your 8 things. Faith, virtue. You say, what do they mean by virtue? Virtue is simply this. It means this. It means a power of goodness. In other words, I've got the power to think and act in goodness now that I'm in Christ Jesus. I don't have to think evil. I don't have to act evil. I don't have to be as if I'm in the darkness, kingdom of darkness and evil. I now have the power of God on the inside of me that came by faith in Christ Jesus, that I can now think the goodness of God, and I can now live out the goodness of God, and that's called virtue. I now change what I think and do. And that's called virtue. To virtue, I'm going to add something. Now that I'm going to add something good, I'm going to have to understanding and knowledge. Because if I don't know what God wants for me and how it works, I will do what I think. And so will you. So I am now getting, he's not talking about getting knowledge about the ways of the world, going back to college and getting a degree. He's talking about hooking up with God, finding out God's way, because God's ways are different than the world's ways. Trust me. And now, in order for me to make my life stable, in order for me to be sure, in order for me to properly respond so that I may receive in my calling, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to apply the goodness of God, and I'm also going to start to learn what he wants, knowledge, who he is and who I am and how this all works. That's where we're going. To my knowledge, I'm going to have to add something else called self control. Now that I've got some knowledge, I've got to have to say to my body, shut up. Not doing that anymore. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I used to act that way in the old nature, but now I've got a new nature, and now I can take control of myself by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of me. I can now say no. See, I couldn't say no before, but because of God in me, I now say no to whatever my flesh says, called self-control. And I need to do that every time it adds up, every time it comes at me, every time it tries to bring something to me, I need to say, no! I'm going to add self-control to my virtue and my knowledge and my faith. Which brings me to a word called adding perseverance. Here's the next block. Perseverance doesn't mean you just try it once and stop. Perseverance means you keep on going. Perseverance means you try, may you fall, fail. You don't see any results, but you keep on going. The fact, the word perseverance here in the original text has a connotation of patience. Because what you believe for doesn't always come immediately, and patience has got to be in there as you press forward in things of God. Perseverance is one thing, but if you don't have patience holding it in place, you'll persevere for a while and then quit. You'll try it and say, well, I don't see any results. Here's my thing to you. Listen to everybody. I want to talk to you about it for a moment. You will not see results as you respond to your call right away. And you need to add to your faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control, perseverance with patience. And the reason for that is because you don't see the results right away. God's on a different time scale than you and I. With perseverance, I'm going to add another quality to my life. And guess what that is? The word is godliness. Simply devotion to God's ways. I've got to be devoted to God's ways. I cannot be devoted to my ways. I've already been devoted to my ways. Have you been devoted to your ways? And where did it get you? Nowhere. It gets you down, out, becoming the biggest loser, becoming the biggest user. You're used all the time. I have now got to take on godliness. Godliness simply means devoted to God's ways. Can you imagine a church that was devoted not to our ways? Our ways feel good. Our ways are wonderful. We want God to get involved in our ways when God is saying, no, don't get involved. I'm not getting involved in your ways, but I want you to get involved in my ways. Because His ways are the right ways. Our ways are wrong. And that's what godliness means. And to godliness, we need to add brotherly kindness. In other words, we need to respect and honor each other. Come on now, that's hard to do. You know why it's hard to do? To respect and honor each other? Because we think different, we look different. We talk different, we're different colors, we have different emphasis. We have different feelings, we have different backgrounds, we have different cultures. And in order for us to have a common ground of brotherly kindness, it's not about hanging out together, it's about respecting and honoring each other. When you respect and honor, it's impossible for you to be anything but brotherly and kind. And that's what this is all about. And the last one is love. If you take this building block of your life, of this call that God has because He's chosen you, and respond the right way, you're going to have to add these eight qualities to it. And these eight qualities, as you add them, faith and virtue and knowledge, self-control and preservation, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, as you add them, you will never stumble, nor will you ever fail. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse number 1, it starts off, therefore, holy brethren. And the question is, here's the question, 4th question today. Are you going to be partakers? The heavenly call. Are you going to respond by adding to your faith the building blocks of your call? Every day, diligently. Something to work on every day. Something to work on every day. Something to work on every day. Are you going to respond, be partakers of your heavenly call? I don't know about you, but that verse now becomes alive, full of insight, and full of personal challenge, because I don't want to ever stumble, fall, or fail. I don't mind having the pressure. I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death and coming out on the other side. I don't mind the pressure, but I'm not going to stumble, fall, or fail. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Isn't that good? Isn't that good?